Hi church, and welcome back to Church Online. I would have loved to be with you in person after a time of worship, just sharing God's heart for our church community for this year. Today is Vision Sunday. Helen Keller said the following: the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. And we also know that the Word of God says that without vision, people perish. And so we want to be a people that is safe and secure in God, that is stable within His will, knowing what His direction is for us as a church community and building our lives upon that. And so I'm inviting you to heed to what the Lord says today. Test what I say, but heed to what the Spirit is saying to you and say yes in your heart so that we can follow wholeheartedly after God in this time. We are already a people that are strengthened to stand with our shields of faith up in a dark and stormy 2021. But yet, where there's darkness, our God comes, brings forth light. We also know where there's death and poverty and sickness, He comes and brings life and life in abundance. And so I'm trusting for that. But we need to keep our eyes fixed upon Him, following Him this year. Now, why is it important to know what God says about a year? I believe it's important because Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor over it in vain. And so, especially in this time, we don't want to do anything as a church community in vain. We want to build for Him and with Him and know whatever we do is of His heart, because that will stand, that will last for eternity, and that will have a massive effect on our families, our community, and on the lost out there. And so His heart for this year is for us so important. You know by now, the title for the sermon today is This Is Us. And our church community is really passionate about encountering God, having a real relationship with Him. And sometimes that is a bit messy. We're passionate about the Word. We're passionate about the Spirit. We're passionate about the voice of God. And so it's important for us to hear what He is saying. We're not perfect in that. We're always growing in that, always needing to be humble to discern what the Lord says. Now, three things why I think it's important to know what the Lord says and what His vision for our church is this year is that we want relationship with Him. We love God. We have relationship with Him as our Father, and we want to know what He is saying about this year and what He is building, because we want to do life with Him and we want to do life for Him. And so maybe we need to make up our minds. Am I going to live for God this year? Yes or no? And that love of Him in my heart, is that compelling me to do life with Him daily, seeking Him out daily? Secondly, we know by now our carnal nature and our bare essence, we as humans want to be safe, secure, and stable. And the only one that gives stability and security to my life is the Lord, His Word and His Spirit, His community of believers. That is where I found safety, security, and stability, not in all the other stuff out there. And then thirdly, I call this the Habakkuk principle, and that you'll find in Habakkuk 2 verse 2. Let's read. Then the Lord answered me and said, obviously the Lord here speaking to Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And so the Lord says here to Habakkuk, write this down, make it plain and simple, so that the one who receives it can run with it. And so he then says there, write it on tablets. Obviously, God neglected there to say on cell phones, on PCs and laptops where you are today. But I believe that the Lord will come and make His vision and heart for our church community plain and simple so that we can run with that. So we want to be safe, secure, and stable. We have a relationship with God. That's why it's important what He says. And then it needs to be plain and simple so that we can run with it. And so join me as I'm quickly going to pray for us that the Lord just reveals His heart for this year and where we are heading. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank You for Your presence wherever we are sitting and listening to this message. Thank You also, Holy Spirit, that You will convict and that You will come and strengthen and that You will come and lead each and every individual. Thank You, Father God. Our church community is held together not by admin logistics, not a manly structure, definitely not by my social media and our WhatsApp group, Lord. It is held together by Your Spirit, Your name, Jesus Christ, Your Word, and God's faithfulness. So, Lord, again, lead us into the season, whisper us plain and simple what Your heart is, and give us Your direction in Jesus' name. Thank You for Your faithfulness all over the years for this church community. And as you said on that right first Sunday, Father God, it'll be not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we hardly ever chat about our name and where Shofar comes from, but I thought in having a quick stop and having Vision Sunday, it's important to look at who we are again. What does this mean? Is it just this weird church name that people go, what? Or does it have a relevance in the Spirit? Is it something that is really part and parcel of God's grace upon us? So let's quickly read together. What is Shofar? Shofar is the Hebrew word for the ceremonial ram's horn. In biblical times, the shofar had several uses. It was used to announce the beginning of times and seasons. It was the pitcher for the oil used for the anointing and inducting kings and priests. It also signaled a summons to war. The shofar is a metaphor for prophetic urgency, authority, and mobilization. Now, when we look at this is us, this is a big part of who we are as a church community. It's definitely not the only thing, but it is a part because God has given us as a church group and our specific church, local church here, a grace to sometimes hear what his heart is and then proclaim, call forth the beginning of seasons, call forth to all the saints of the Lord, and then also with authority to proclaim the things of God in the Spirit prophetically. It is a grace, and grace is given to you not because you are any better or because you're worthy. Grace is given to you because of Jesus. But it is something that we may take up and say, thank you, God. May we stand in this. In our local congregation, often we've also received the word of a lighthouse. And so I believe us as a small church community have also been called to be a lighthouse. A lighthouse is an instrument of warning. It gives light and a sound to say, hey guys, be aware of the rocks and be aware of the stormy seas. And so maybe even in Vision, looking back at the last couple of years, I can see how God did exactly that. Often giving us a word to proclaim season for ourselves and maybe to those that are willing to hear. And then sometimes even giving a warning, a light warning, and a sound warning when things are happening and going on in the world and in the Spirit. And so let's take heed to the mandate and call that the Lord has given to us. Church is much bigger than that, but we're thankful for this grace. So let's look at the road that we are following God on the last couple of years, how he has been speaking to us as a church community, and looking then into 2021 and asking God for his heart once again. Now, a prophetic theme is very simply, we know by now, to make us safe, secure, and stable. You'll remember from last year, 1 Corinthians 14:3, that says the following: but the person who prophesies speaks to people for edification, encouragement, and consolation or comfort. And so it is to encourage us. It is to edify us and to comfort us when God says, hey guys, this is what the direction is. This is where we are going. And it's so there to strengthen us and encourage us. We also know that when God comes and speaks prophetically, it gives faith. When you hear God's voice, it just stirs a faith in your heart. Romans 10 verse 17 says, now faith comes by the hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so this morning you can say, Lord, I want to hear what you say. Not to Retief, but to me, Lord, about this church community. And even maybe your bigger bride in this area, Lord. And so we're thankful for that. Prophecy is just a message from God. It's God helping out his children, we said before. In the definition, it means the gift of communicating and enforcing the revealed truth or the revealed truth of God. It is the revealed truth of God. Now, the Greek is prophetes, and we dealt with that last year, but it's important to know when we look at a vision, it is prophetic in nature. It is either a forthtelling or a foretelling. God saying, this will happen, or, hey guys, partner with me. I want to establish this through you. A forthtelling. And so there's a great power by God's Spirit when we align ourselves with what he is building, what he wants to do, and what he will do through us. But we need faith to do that. And so prophetes is to beforehand make clear what is to come. And so when we have a vision, it's not just this marketing gimmick, not just this thing to say, hey guys, let's do this. Let's all get all excited. No, no, no. I don't believe that's biblical. What is biblical is to humble yourself, go low and say, God, without you, we're going to die. Without you, we're not definitely not going to prosper. Without you, this is not going to work, God. God, speak to us. Dad, lead us, because we can't lead ourselves. We've seen what happens when we lead ourselves. Speak to us prophetically. And then in that place of humility, blows. He whispers. He speaks and says, hey, guys, I believe this is the plan. This is what will succeed. This is what I want to do. And then what? He becomes God again. He is Lord in our lives. And then we follow. But that stirs a faith. Even as I share that, I trust that the Spirit will just come and stir it up. Because it's not emotion. It's not hype. It is by God's Spirit. It is His breath. And man cannot fabricate that. No man can make that up. I can think about a million and one beautiful, cute visions that will lead to nowhere. But when God gives vision, when God gives direction, when He foretells something, when He tells you to foretell something or gives you a foretelling of what will happen, it's then when faith arises, and then we know this will happen. And so the revealed truth of God is important. Prophecy is obviously important, and we know as shofar, there's a grace on us to usher that in our community and in the Spirit in the area. We're not better than anybody else, but it is something that we're thankful for and something that we're going to walk out this year again. So now that we know what prophecy is again and why we're called shofar, when looking at this is us and what is a passion and a grace upon our lives, let's look at the road that we've traveled the last couple of years, because I believe that'll stir your faith. It is also there because it will glorify God, I believe, in the process. And then it will stir our faith to, when He speaks and gives fresh vision again, that we know that we know He's faithful, that we can bank on what He says and that He is good. Also keep in mind that the Lord will only just lead those that are willing to be led. God will always lead those that are willing to be led. And so we also need to humble ourselves in the process. When we look back, I believe we can see that God knew, God foreknew, God was in control of us as a church community. God is a loving Father, God is faithful, God is not a liar, and God is good. Those are the things that I've taken from our testimony as a church community the last couple of years when it comes to vision and the vision of God to our church. Now, in 2017, I don't know who of you guys will remember, we started off with being anchored. The theme that year was plain and simple, be anchored. And we looked at two scriptures specifically that, looking back, I realized was so applicable for building us up going to 2020. Let's quickly look at these two scriptures where the Lord had told us as a church community and as individuals, guys, be anchored. Don't float around. Be anchored in the Word. Be anchored in relationship with me. Be anchored in Christ. Be anchored in the truth. Be anchored in fellowship and in a community of believers. Hebrews 12 verse 25. Make sure that you do not reject the one who speaks. For if they did not escape when they rejected him who warned them on earth, even less will we if we turn away from him who warned us from heaven. His voice shook in the earth at that time, but now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. This expression, yet once more, indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us hold on to grace. By it, we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And so I think it was the 17th of January 2017. I kicked off and we looked at that scripture firstly, saying, hey guys, shaking comes. Often a shaking comes, and then the Lord takes away that which is shakable and what is unshakable, what is kingdom, what is Christ-like, what is truth will remain. So heed, listen when He speaks. Now obviously we know last year, the pandemic and the sickness, I do not believe God sent. But He used the situation, He uses the circumstances that the world finds itself in at the moment. And then a shaking happens in my heart, mind and heart to think, am I trusting on things that is shakable, or am I putting my trust and faith on things that are unshakable? How beautiful the Lord already said, be anchored in 2017. The other scripture that day was the following, Ephesians 4 verse 10 onwards. The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and then in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. Now, that's a bunch of big words. And what exactly did the Lord say to us? He said to us, be anchored. He's given us everything in the body, everything in the word, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And then he called us to grow in the knowledge together. It's not easy, so that we can be mature Christians that are steadfast, that are able to stand, that are anchored, so that when the winds and the waves come, we do not get tossed to and fro. And so the whole of that year, the Lord just permeated, worked that into our lives, and as it were, built new wineskins, new understanding, a new knowledge of Him, so that when the tough times come, we can be those mature people. Then in 2018, moving on, the Lord said to us, go low. Guys, be humble. And so you worked that in throughout that year, along with Known for Love, that was Shofar's corporate vision for that year. With Go Low, Known for Love, we saw both of those things in John 13, where Christ came, took off his robe, and then washed the feet of his disciples, saying, hey, as I do to you, go and do unto others. And so that is the way that the Lord gave us vision and kicked off 2018, and said to us, guys, be a people that go low, be humble. I've seen how breakthrough and the kingdom, the beauty, the grace, and the love of God comes where there is humility. He comes near to the humble, but he resists the proud. And so he said, be a humble people and be a people of love. And so we were challenged by that the whole year. Now, you might often ask, why do you repeat stuff? Or why do we spend such a long time on certain series? Now, in the context of This Is Us, I've also said that in our culture, it's difficult to know how often we can get to one another. Christ had his disciples for 3 years, day and night. We are lucky when we've got a couple of hours in a month. And so I've said that there's a couple of R's. We need to repeat, repeat, repeat. Because once you repeat enough, we start remembering things. And it's when we start remembering those things and meditating on it, when the Holy Spirit can help us, that it comes and settles in our heart. Then it becomes revelation. And only once something is a revelation, you start living it out. And I call that run with it. So repeating to remember, remember to get revelation. And once you have revelation, you run with it. That's why sometimes we spend long time on certain things so that it can become part of our fabric. Now, in my home, I don't want my kids to conform. I often want my kids to transform. Be like loving, godly children in my home. Be Christ-like in my home. Confirmation is when you just yaw amen to everything somebody says, but your heart is not in it. And we can be conforming Christians. We can be a conformed church. But ultimately, God wants to be us. Let us be a transformed people. And so that's why often we will spend long time so that we can be a transformed people. And so in 2019, it got quite interesting. And one can clearly see how God was setting us up, how God was working behind the scenes. And he said to us, the vision that year, the heart that year, prophetic theme that year was Jesus is enough from John 6. You know by now, John 6, where Christ says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have a part of me. 50 plus guys that's been following him there, turns around and say, this is too hard, we can't stomach this, we're off. Jesus turns around, says to the other 12, do you also want to go? And so that just really rammed out in our hearts, saying that we can't be a people that build church and build community upon pleasing man. We need to know that Christ alone is enough. And then we need to wholeheartedly follow him. The call to follow Christ is one to pick up your cross, lose your life, and deny yourself. And that is the basis, that was the foundation that we started 2019 off, which I think was pretty good. If we if we look at what happened in 2020. Now from that, we then started to look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Again, long, painstakingly going through each and every verse, each and every part of the words of Jesus in the best sermon ever. Why, you might ask? Because God was preparing this church community for what lied ahead. Let's look at Matthew. Let's remind ourselves of what the Lord actually was doing in that time in this church community and how good this Father of us is and how important His visions, His prophetic visions is to us, and that we actually need to listen, because it's not just a cute little hashtag or something that we just do to market or attract people. No, no. It is something in the fear of the Lord that we do because God is good. Matthew 7 verse 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because of its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears the words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great. And so now in hindsight, we can see that God said, hey guys, these words of Christ is so important. Make them your own. Do not only hear them, but act upon them. Because you need to build your house on a rock. And we looked at that for most of 2019. Going on into 2020, it is pretty obvious to see that God was just saying, hey guys, the winds will come. The waves are going to come. The wind will blow and the storms will rage come the future. So I want to prepare you. So I don't know what you did with what the Lord gave us in 2019. I don't know if you took those words to heart and made it your own to build your house upon a rock. I trust and I pray that you did, because your God was leading you as He was leading me. And I'm thankful for that. Right at the end, about September, of that year, 2019, one Sunday morning, the Lord also just took over entirely our Sunday service. I didn't preach, and the Lord just took over in ministry time with a public tongue, and then asking us to blow the shofar and make a declaration. You'll be reminded, if you were there, that He then said, awake the wise virgins. In other words, those that need to be awake. The saints need to be awake. Keep their oil lamps of intimacy with God and His Spirit full, because tough times are coming ahead. How beautiful is it when God gives us these words and unctions? And so moving on into 2020, as we look at God's faithfulness and the way in which, by grace, He leads us as a church community, giving us prophetic themes and visions. The theme obviously was inside out, and you saw that all over. Now, at first we thought it is both the kingdom that needs to be on our inside, a reality, before it starts coming out in our lives, and that we need to live that authentically. Be real on our insides and make sure that the Spirit's life, the Holy Spirit, will come in and let the kingdom come on our inside before we bear the fruit on our outside. We also, as we laid out the plans for the year last year, we knew that the Lord said we need to be a church outside of the four walls of our building. We need to get out and get to our communities and get to other people. Now, obviously, by now, we know that that was very, very applicable, that we couldn't have church services since middle March last year. And so the Lord graciously, lovingly said, hey guys, I'm actually showing you something. I'm actually giving you something. I'm giving you a foretelling of what's going to happen. The beauty of it is that as we headed into online church and then social Sundays last year, all of the time I could just hold on to, because believe you me, it was not an easy season. I could just hold on to the mere fact that God said, this is the direction. He has spoken, and this is Him. He did not. He wasn't caught unaware or off guard, and He said to us inside out, making the vision plain and simple. So I could just hold on and say, well, God, You knew about this. You had been preparing us, and so thank You for that. We also remember, and this is part and parcel of where we're heading for this year, at February last year already, the Lord just called us to an instant prayer meeting here at my house. And then lots of words flowed, but two in particular that was just so apt for what I believe the Lord had been doing and wants to do is that a shaking will come and then new life, or operation will come and then a new birth, and that birth will be faith. And so didn't understand all that, wrote that down, but obviously now it is very applicable, for that shaking did come last year, and we are thankful that the Lord spoke to us in such a way. So for me, into stepping back in this week and looking at This Is Us and the grace and the way God has been leading us as a church community in each and every year and season, looking back to see that He forewarned and said, hey guys, be a people that are mature and anchored and planted. Hey guys, remember to stay humble in all you do and to love others. Then to say, Jesus is enough, built upon this rock, because the winds, the waves and the storms will come. And then saying, take heed, don't worry. You'll be an inside church very literally. And the kingdom is already, the grace and the Spirit of God is already on your inside. So do not worry, do not fret, I'm with you. Going into 2021, it is just beautiful to see how God is faithful. He's a good Father and how He's leading us as a church community. I've indeed been empowered by that. I've been comforted by that. I've been encouraged by that. And that is exactly what prophecy should do. Do we always get it perfectly right? No, not at all. But in humility, in testing with one another, in walking in the fellowship of other believers, let us thank God for this great gift and grace. Which brings us to where God wants to take us in 2021. And I believe, and we as elders have prayed about it, and there's been a number of confirmations, that the heart is new life. I really believe that the Spirit of God wants to bring forth new life. Revival, so to speak. Now, we prayed about it. We already know about that word last year. A shaking will come and then a new birth or new life. We also had a number of people that came with visions of a plant just breaking, very small plant just breaking through the ground for the first time. I think it was 2 to 3 people that saw the same vision. And so in praying and waiting on God, we believe that the Lord is saying new life. That new life will come. Now, yes, we are facing darkness. Yes, we're still facing a pandemic. Yes, we're facing health and all different other crises at the moment. It is pretty dark. But how beautiful is our God to bring light in darkness? Is it not so the character of our God to bring life with His death? Is it not so the character of our God to, when His people have their backs against the wall, to come through strong and bring forth new life? Is it not our God that raised Christ from the dead, that raised Lazarus from the dead? Is it not our God that saw when the old covenant did not work out and we could not do it, sent us His Son to bring forth the new covenant? Is this not the character of our God? And so, I don't want you to listen to what I say, but I want you to heed your voice to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Maybe not even just our church, but even wider. And then we are called to align ourselves with what God wants to build, to foretell and to foretell what will come in the future. We've been given this assignment, and I believe as shofar we can not only ask, but then we can very humbly but boldly declare new life will come. New kingdom life will come. New Christ life will come. New life from the Spirit in line with the Word of God will come. And that is what I'm putting my faith out for. That is what I believe is the vision for this year. And that is what all of us can align ourselves with individually, our families, and us as a church community. Just align ourselves with God. We already know from Scripture that this is who He is. We'll read in Ezekiel 36 verse 26. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And so the Lord will give us a new heart, and we have that by now. And so we know this is in line with His character. We also know out of Scripture that He says in John 6:63, and we will take time to work through new life and what it means and what it means in different situations. We'll make sure that God works this in again so that we'll have faith to see this come to fruition in our lives and communities and in our church. But this is who He is. John 6:63, the Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and are life. And so I believe that is what God, through His Spirit, is saying to us as a church. These words that are Spirit and life. saying that, hey guys, don't build on things of the flesh. Don't focus. Don't value. Don't make priority things of the flesh, but come and partner with my spirit because I want to bring new life. I want to bring new life. And then the following, again, what is true to God's character, the following scripture, I believe it's been misused quite a lot. And in a prophetic sense, maybe at the wrong times. But the principle of the scripture, I believe, is also true. And that I'm going to stand on. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. I'm going to read that again. Because I believe there's power in the Spirit. And as you agree with me in the Spirit, we say thank you. We receive your vision, God. We receive your direction. You're taking the steering wheel of this church community. We receive it. But we stand upon this principle of your character and your truth in your word, empowered by your Spirit, that this shall be so. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Here we are, a church without a venue. Here we are, a church online that can't gather together, can't have small group. Here we are, a church that is facing pandemic and different ailments and challenges, lives of poverty and business challenges. Yet, here we have our God to say, no, my son, my daughter, this is the direction. This is my heart. And this is what I want to birth through you guys. This is what I want to birth in your life individually. This is what I want to birth in your relationships, friendships, your marriage, and in your kids' lives. This is what I want to birth in your family. This is what I want to birth in your street for your neighbors. This is who I want to be in your church community. This is who I want to be in times of worship when you gather again. This is who I want to be for salvations through this church community, and I believe all the churches in our area. This is who God wants to be in children's church. This is who God wants to be in small group. This is who God wants to be and what he wants to do in our women's and men's discipleship groups, in Bible school, and all the areas. This is who God wants to be for the poor. This is what God wants to do in and through this church community and in this season. Behold, I want to do a new thing. And so, Lord, we want to just come and partner with that. So I want you to take time out. Let's not get emotionally swept up. Yes, emotions follow where the Spirit really comes and pours out something and does something miraculously. Yes, absolutely. But let's be Spirit-led, quiet down our heart and say, God, okay, God, yes, I hear this, Lord. I agree. I want this. And then whatever the grace is on your life, if you're an evangelist, I want you to pray today and say, Lord, I want new life, new salvations in and through this church community. If you're a pastor, if you've got a pastor caring heart for others in this church, I want you to say, new life, Lord. Healing in relationships. Brokenness. Lord, come and cut off the ties and the bondage of sin, Lord. Come and restore and heal up people. Heal up relationships. Come on, God. If you're a teacher and you love the word, say, come, God, new life. May people fall in love with your word again. I want you to pray that today. If you've got a bit of an apostolic edge and you like to be sent and you want to see how the kingdom comes, I want you to pray today and say, Lord, here I am. Use me, Lord. New life. Let's plant new small groups. Let's plant a church. Let's root for the local churches to grow and to flourish and to be established. Where we ever see brothers and sisters suffer, let's pray for them. Where you're prophetic, let's pray for new life and people hearing God's voice and following him. Praying for churches all over to hear the prophetic voice of God, to knowing what he does and what he wants to do. I want us to really partner with God and seek him out in giving us this direction. I'm going to pray for us. And then I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit shows you where you can align with this truth. Where you in this church community, where the Lord has planted you, where you can live that out. Say, Lord, here's my life. I want to see new life in the youth, Lord. Come and use my life, Lord. Lord, I want to see our small groups flourish. Lord, come and use my life. Lord, I want us to be true worshipers that worship you in spirit and truth. Can I give myself? Lord, can I give myself to to when we get back to help out with setup and lay the table there for you on Sundays, Lord. Lord, can I be part of a host team, Lord, that really sees new life in this church community and through this church community to our communities. I'm stirred up and I'm trusting that God's going to show us, give us, and bring new life unto our church community, unto our areas, unto our streets, unto our families. But I want to say, Lord, please bring it unto our country. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, we're humbled today to see that you speak and lead, Lord. Lord, we thank you that 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, Lord, you've been busy and you've always been working. You were always leading us as a people, Lord, if we were willing to hear. Lord, if we didn't heed to your voice, we repent. But we say thank you that you did speak and you did lead. Lord, we thank you for just your simple direction, yet profound direction for this year. Thank you, Lord, for a faithful vision of new life. We come and partner with you, Lord. We want to see, Lord, new life in and through this church community, in our individual people, in our families, marriages, in our small groups, Lord, in our streets. Lord, we want to see new life, Lord. Irrespective of what's going on in the world, irrespective of what the enemy is trying to do, we want to see the new life of God. We want to partner with the Spirit of God in line with the Word of God to say, bring forth new life. Bring forth new life. Lord, even as people listen to this message and say, Lord, firstly, do it to me. I say, and I ask, Lord, for revival, new life through your Spirit to each and everybody that needs it right now. New life, new life, new life, Lord. New life, Lord. I think of a family member that's in hospital in ICU, Lord, needing new life, Lord. Lord, I think of church communities, fellowships that needs new life, Lord. I think of homes and families, marriages that needs new life, Lord. Lord, I think of schools and broken systems all over that needs new life, Lord. Lord, I think of so many people that need salvation. We ask for new life, Lord. New life, new life, Lord. Lord, I pray for new life, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. Lord, here we are, simple, humble vessels, serving and following a powerful, amazing, good God that wants to say, hey, God, this is my heart, this is my plan, partner with me. And so, Lord, we just simply partner with you. We don't know how it will work out, Lord, but you do know. We can just say yes in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm stirred up, and I trust that you will test this word, and if it resonates in your spirit, say yes, God. Go and pray about the places and people that you are passionate about, that you are called for, and say, Lord, I want to see new life. I want a foretell, and I want a foretelling of new life in those areas and situations. God, here's my life. I give it a seed again. I take up my cross, and I say, I've got one life to live, and I want to see the new life of Christ, the new life of God's Spirit to come in these places and situations. And then we as a church community, I believe we will see the harvest. The harvest of salvation, firstly, that is important, and secondly, also of discipling the nations. Let's put out our faith. Let's say yes, pick up our cross and say, God, here I am, use me. If you've been listening in and if the Lord is speaking to you and if He is calling you, you're welcome to come and join our church community. I'll leave an email at the end and you can email us and become part of our church community and slot in and connect and grow with us. Lay down your life and see how God uses your life to see new life for many others. Guys, have an awesome week. We chat next week. God bless. Bye.